Beautiful people, more life, more blessings. You know the vibes, man. Do it for the love. Episode 13. You know me, your host, Eric Buddy Davis. You know my co-host is in the building.
Sell spit fire.
And as usual, you know, we're feeling good, feeling great. And we hope you're feeling great as well. Oh, man, my brother, how you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Temperature is right.
Yeah, it's feeling right?
Yeah, man, we're starting to warm up. You know, the last episode, we talked about the snow, being cold, being in the house, getting your rest and all of that. But it's getting warm again, man. The earth is showing its true colors.
You know what it is.
Global warming is in full effect. This up and down roller coaster of the weather, but I ain't mad at it. But I'm just acknowledging. That's it. How you feel?
Well, you know, before I even get into how I'm feeling, as my co-host said, you know, we're coming in hot. This is checking your temperature, you know, for all our first-time listeners and viewers. As we continue to grow, I just want our listeners to know what we got going on and how we're running our show. But, my brother, I'm feeling good. Fresh off the plane from Vegas.
Literally, like, still got jet lag.
Man, I got jet body. About 11 hours ago, touchdown, BWI, man, had a beautiful family vacation. It was a great time, man. My mom celebrated, I believe, her 63rd birthday. My aunt, 67. I might be off a year, but you know how it is. The older women get older, they don't care if you get it right. Just don't get it too far over. But no, I'm feeling great, brother. Going forward in the year, I feel like this year is moving slow, but I feel like a lot has happened already. So just trying to stay balanced, stay focused, continuing to grow with yourself, with our show, and everything I got going on, man. Some big events coming up this weekend.
It look like you enjoyed yourself, though, bro.
Man, listen.
Big time.
When seeing Jeezy at Dre's, man, dope boy still go crazy. That's all I'm saying. But moving forward, tonight's episode is titled, well, for one, episode 13, Do It For The Love. We keep on growing. And tonight is about For The Love Of Nourishment. Mm-hmm. Now, that word is very powerful, very strong. As I've been going lately in our episodes, I like to give the book definition before I go into how we both feel separately. Right. So, nourishment. It can be the food or other substances necessary for growth, health, and good condition. Another definition would be the action of nourishing someone or something. When I think of nourishment, or when I think most people that I've asked when I was writing this episode, they think, you know, Big Mama, or as the definition said, food, the things that you need to stay healthy, for all of our fitness people, for all of our people that you know are into, you know, just staying sharp mentally, physically, spiritually. But when I think about it, I think of, you know, that term you might have heard when you were younger, but as you get older, it starts to take form. You are what you eat. And as we grow in age, you know, us both being in our mid-30s, a lot of our audience is probably in that age range, younger and older. You start to realize that how you treat yourself, the things that you allow into your life, the things that you do, have a very, very strong focus and, I would say, direction in where you take your life. So I always like to say the goal is to cherish, foster, and keep alive, not disregard, negate, or kill. And that's how I look at nourishment. So, Sel, let's talk for the love of nourishment.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, nourishment, when you hear it, you think about food. And I do think about that, but I also think about how nourishment affects a few things in my life,
okay.
How I go by. You know, nourishment is more than what we put on our plate. It's a way of life. It's the substance that fuels not only the bodies, but our souls. And as an artist, you know, I need that creative energy. On a lot of my projects, shout out to Katisha of Mental Mayhem, mm-hmm. Mental Mills. When we did that trip to Louisville, Kentucky to paint the mural of Breonna Taylor, she went along with us as the chef and assistant artist, and she made sure that all the artists that went along on the trip, we ate breakfast, we got a good lunch and dinner, and that made the trip that much better.
I'm
you know,
sorry,
you in a new city, you don't know who to trust on the food, so to have your own chef there made it a lot easier. And even on the days that she didn't cook, you know, she chose the restaurants. We let her just be the whole lead of the food, so she picked some real good spots. But, you know, like I said, that's my creative energy. And as a family man, you know, that love and care that's shared around the dinner table, that nourishment is the essence of life. And through every brushstroke, or whether it's every family meal or every piece of art, I strive to capture that and share that essence of nourishment.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. I also wrote down that nourishment is essential to our growth and elevation as a civilization. When I look at where we struggle in economy, where we struggle in the common workplace, where we struggle just in our day-to-day social interaction, is that we don't want to grow. We don't want to grow each other. We don't want to give people a chance to grow on us. Mm-hmm. We just look at things and cut them off if it doesn't automatically fit our, you know, the direction. And I know I just said that we have to stay focused and stay sharp, but at the same time, you have to leave room for those moments, for those just genuine interactions, for that genuine happening, for something that can actually be a blessing. Yeah. So I just want people to continue to not just nourish yourself, but nourish this planet, nourish your people, nourish our children, our youth. That's one of the stronger focuses I also wanted to talk about, because they need more nourishment than ever, especially in this day and age where they're so locked in to just the phones and what's popular. And we speak on children and parenting so much because that's like our life, right, and we live in it. So that's just a strong focus in nourishment. Correct. Anything else you want to tap on in nourishment before we move forward?
No, heavy on that kids part and heavy on that nourishing the earth, man. We need to do a better job of that. Like, I just spoke on the weather, you know, the whole global warming. That's a reflection of how we out here treating the earth. You know, I ain't trying to get dug deep on that, but it's right in front of our face.
Well, yeah, and I'll just leave it with this. There are too many people moving around with unfed souls. And the Bible says nourish means to develop and to nurture and to lift up. So let's continue to do that as people and let's grow. Do it for the love, episode 13, baby. So moving forward.
Man, pulling the Bible out.
Hey, listen, man, you know, I'm worldly. I was raised Catholic, but I love all people. But I was just saying before we came on, I'm in the Navy, the Beehive, and what's my other gang? I forgot my bar. So, yeah, man, you know, I'm a unified bud. I love them all. But let's get into our sponsor highlight. For all our first-time listeners and viewers, this is a moment that will always be held for brands, for businesses. We hope to one day have companies want to be a part of us, be a part of our family, and this will be for you. A moment for you to shine outside of whatever the topic is. You know, we'll talk about that. But yes, this is our sponsor highlight, and Sal got us a great one for tonight.
Yep. So our first sponsor highlight of the night is the Hood to Good Movement. And shout out to their president and founder, Ken Stark.
What's up, baby?
Hood to Good, aka H2G, is a youth movement powered by the Community Transitions Incorporated and Anne Arundel County Partnerships for Children, Youth, and Families. It's based out of Annapolis, Maryland, and recently Hood to Good was spotted hosting a step club at Belgrove Elementary, and they also partnered with Art Farm, making visual arts, scriptures, and beats with the Charting Careers and Annapolis Maritime Museum. And I wanted to shout out Ken, man, because as long as I've been working with him, for somebody to be from D.C., move to Annapolis, and really get in the trenches and really be indebted to the schools, the programs, and really want to care for your kids. I see Ken out there doing a lot for other people's children. And, you know, I just wanted to salute him and that movement. So shout out again, Hood to Good, representing coming out of Annapolis.
Facts. I just wanted to shed a little light on Ken as well. Like I said, I think on another episode, I don't know if we ever gave him a moment before as an individual or we just spoke on him. But
we talked about him for your event that you hosted.
Yes, and you just brought up the Art Farm. And I just did a Christmas showcase with Ken there. And he just always, nourishment, uplifts these children. Inner city kids, the ones that may want to play sports or not, the ones that's in the streets. He's there showing up for them, picking them up, doing things. And it's crazy that I just discovered him in Annapolis in the last, 4 years. Mm-hmm. But I see the kids that he touched, like, boss, I see the kids that he's helping influence. It's crazy because he's had to have been around forever. He just got on my radar. So, man, shout out to Ken for all that you do for the neighborhood. I know we're going to work this year. We keep on growing. As you told me when I met you, every year we work, it's only going to get bigger. And you have held up to every word of that, my brother. So let's continue to grow and let's keep on doing what you've been doing for our youth, man.
Good to good.
Yes, sir. So, once again, you know what time it is, man. Love to not love, you know, upside down frown. This is our moment where we poke fun at the things that we don't prefer or choose on a day to day. You know, if my favorite color red, I might not pick blue. So, you know, that's the type of thing that this is. If I'm a Commander fan, then the Cowboys ain't for me, they're for you. Mm-hmm. So that's what we do here.
Bars.
When it's time. You hear that? I do that on purpose. Sometimes it just comes to me. You know, God gives everyone a gift. But yes, this is love to not love. So, Sally, you want to kick it off?
I'm going to kick it off. So my first love to not love is people that hate dynasties that aren't your own. Mm-hmm. And you know what's funny? I'm one of them people. My team, you know, the Commanders, we had our run in the 90s, but most of the teams that throughout different sports, we haven't had our dynasty run. Yeah. And I truly hate watching them other dynasties win. I named a couple, the Patriots, the Chiefs that's headed back to the Super Bowl,
yes,
the Bulls, the Lakers, and even Rockefeller Records, that dynasty, you know what I mean? Like, they killed my crew and almost knocked them out.
The Lost?
Rough Riders, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Man, sorry for
so, you. I'm one of them people, man, but I gotta admit, I love to not love a dynasty.
This might be one of the first loves that I love that I'm like totally on the opposite side. That's why I fell all day, man. Shout out to Biz, State Pop, Shane Gang, everybody with the crew.
Yeah.
But no, that's a good one. I don't mind watching it, but when you start seeing them talk they mess, especially when you're kind of a fan of who they might be beating,
yeah,
it's like, man.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, shout out to the dynasties. You know, at the end of the day, this is for the love, so like, how can I get on a winner?
Yeah.
As Lamar said, you got to get through a champion to be a champion, and they didn't get it done. My love to not love, huh, it's actually right on par. How are y'all treating my Ravens out here? And like I said, you know I'm a Commanders fan, but yes, I did say my Ravens. I feel like Terrell Owens, man, that's my quarterback, man. I hear how y'all doing Lamar out here. Y'all burning jerseys, bro. Like, I feel like after what they did to LeBron in Cleveland.
I missed it.
Oh, man, I seen it on Instagram. And also feel like you can catch anything on social media. You can see three or four people doing it and become a story.
Until I see Steve Bashotti, Burn Lamar, some jersey, it don't even matter.
Yeah, nah,
everybody think they got power with social media.
Never. But obviously, they came up short. It wasn't the results that we wanted, but they still had a great season. I feel like when we look at sports, how many Tom Brady's are? It's more Peyton Manning's than it is Tom Brady's. People that have great careers and they have their lumps, and when they get there, it means a lot. And everybody ain't dominant, and everybody obviously ain't gonna be Patrick Mahomes. But Lamar's still young. That whole core is young. So I just want the Baltimore community, man, don't be like that.
OJ,
don't be like that, man. Don't be those people. I just said on the last episode that y'all go see that the Cowboys is acting like that. As a Commander fan, we go 12-4, win a division. That's worth a celebration to me. Okay, we'll be doing the playoffs. We had a great season. They gave me a great 18 weeks. But that's just how I look at life. Man. Every week, every day, every moment, every minute matters. So don't act like that.
Yeah.
Number two.
So my second one is a little bit more serious, but I ain't gonna get too dragged on about it. But Shaq just made a recent comment where he was asked a question, and he said, men should never open up to women.
Gotcha.
And his exact words was never. We don't say it's a trap. They'll trap you, and they'll always throw it back in your face. I mean, I love to not love that statement,
because
I don't agree with it.
Sure.
You know, I mean, I'm not telling any man how to live or what you should tell your woman, but I don't feel like it makes me any less of a man to be open to my woman about whatever, whether it's an issue I got with her or anything. You know what I mean? Like, just being open and honest. Honestly, in my life, I've had better relationships with women from being that honest man. So, you're a young man and you try to figure out what the game is, I'm almost sure any woman would tell you she'd rather you being honest than creating all these lies. Because if you out there doing that, it ain't going to become nothing but a bad habit.
Right. That's a fact.
So,
man, you know I am, man. I'm always with that. Because I always feel like mom and dad have been married 40 years, but I spent a lot of my time with the women in my life. So I'm always feeling the need to have a relationship with women because I see what it's like having them behind you more than anybody in this world. So, yeah, Shaq, I'm with you on a lot of things, but I can't agree with you on that bit, homie. We don't have to agree on everything. Do it for the love, man. Passionate about how you feel, stand on it, and we'll keep it moving.
Yeah.
That's what it is. So, moving forward, for all of our viewers, all of our first-time listeners, and I want to thank everybody. Like I said, this is the beginning of the year, and we're just getting started. I feel so grateful for where we're at thus far with this show. So, just keep tuning in, keep liking, keep subscribing, keep sharing.
And drop them comments, man. Oh, yeah. Everybody was just
talking. Interaction, baby.
Y'all see we be asking a lot of questions and a lot of topics, and we don't want our comments on them subjects to stand as is, like, we want to leave y'all with the floor to do the same thing. So drop them comments, like, subscribe, and we're going to tune in and we might discuss your comment on the next show.
Absolutely. So now, moving forward, this is the moment forward when we give our shining the spotlight moment. Mm-hmm. This is for all of our people listening to the first time and watching for the first time. This is when we highlight a person or a moment or a group that we feel like has touched us along our path, maybe this week, or just something that we saw in the news this week, and just want to highlight it, and maybe you'll go see the story, and then maybe you'll be inspired by it, just like we were. So tonight, I'm going to shine it on all the parents and all the adults and people, period, supporting and giving the best chance to our youth to grow in this time that is so stressful out here. We must nurture them mentally, physically, and emotionally, and also spiritually. The small details in life mean the most in the long haul. The seeds planted into our youth at an early age is crucial. to their development as they grow into adults. Spend time with them in whichever way allows you to, but also know that the time spent is essential. You can be coaching them in a youth sport. You can be a full-time businessman that take them to work when you have the opportunity to, or when you get off from a long day, you just share some gems with them in hopes that they may want to take over, do what you do for a living. But I just want us to continue to feed them more than what the world is, because we can't put everything on school systems. We can't put everything on any judicial system if anything was to happen. We can't put anything on anything that we don't control. We have to feed them with the knowledge that we have. We have to feed them constantly with love, and we have to constantly give them something to look forward to on a day-to-day basis. Yeah. So I want to shine a spotlight on everybody that feel like they fit that definition. All of those that, you know, on day-to-day, you're touching somebody. I know school teachers feel that way on a day-to-day basis. Mm-hmm. I know people that are serving, from police fighters to even chefs and individuals in any industry that are doing something with love and passion and with hopes that when you consume it, you feel the work that they put into it. So what would you like to share on that?
I just want to say, you know, I sympathize with any parents going through it, but you got to stay 10 toes down, man. I'm, as a parent, going through it right now with, you know, my children, going through their teens, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying, and becoming new people, trying to develop themselves and become that character, that persona. And even when I know my son knows that what I tell him has the best intentions, you know, to see him go against that or do stuff that I know is out of his character. It's tough, make you want to give up sometimes, but you just got to stay 10 toes down. You got to be patient with him. As we just spoke on teachers who we always like to highlight and show love to on this episode, it really takes a lot. You know, I'm talking about one child of my two, or actually four, you know, including my fiance kids, but, you know, a teacher has, what, 15 to 20 to 30 kids at a time.
Right.
So it takes a lot, man. Keep working with the kids and the people that's out here taking care of other people's kids. We salute you. Keep it up.
It takes a village, man. Just always know the future has a lot to do with the past. So make sure you're doing the right things today, man. Put that work in. Let's keep on nurturing the future. And hopefully, you know, we'll keep on growing as a civilization, man. So, for the love of nourishment, baby, episode 13. You know, I'm drinking hot tea, man. It's Vegas Boys Bud. That's my new nickname. Y'all always come up with new personalities. But I think it's time, man, for our very, very special guest. He's ready?
Yep, stay tuned. Right.
Let's do it. Episode 13. We back at a special, special guest tonight, man. Sitting to my right. Welcome, brother, man.
I appreciate you, man.
Absolutely.
Our next guest is not just a chef. He's a culinary architect, 9-time published author, and a wizard in the kitchen. From dazzling the taste bud of food critics at the Washington Post to gracing the kitchens of the HBCUs with the one-of-a-kind vegan creations, he's not just changing the game, he's redefining it. You might have seen him on Fox 5 DC, Fox 45 Baltimore, or perhaps caught a glimpse of his genius on social media, where he navigates the hilarious world of client negotiations. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome the man who turns every meal into a masterpiece, Chef Anthony De Niro Thomas, a.k.a. Chef Ank. What it is, homie?
Hey, man, I appreciate you for having me.
Yes, sir.
That was a hell of an introduction.
You don't see his videos, you don't see how the food be looking and how he gracing the people. You can't give a man like that an introduction that's nothing less.
Now, we gonna get into what that yes, food be looking like. I already got that in my notes to get into that food. But no, man, as I said when you came on, man, it's a pleasure to have you on our show tonight, brother, man. We'd like to welcome you to Do It For The Love, episode 13, For The Love and Nourishment. Yeah. It's a pleasure to have you.
Appreciate you.
So when we have our guests on, we always like to start off with like the who, what, when, where, why, so that people can get to know you, know about your business, know about your brand based on the questions that me and Sal ask you. Okay. So just starting off easily, who is Chef Anthony Evans?
Yep, Chef Anthony Thomas is a 37-year-old personal chef based out of this area. The DMV, okay. Right? Born and raised, Greater Southeast Hospital, went to Eleanor Roosevelt, went to Bowie State, but predominantly dominate this area, providing culinary experiences through food and, you know, like you said, 9 books on Amazon.
So being a 9-time published author is an incredible achievement.
Yep.
Can you share a bit about the writing process and how you find inspiration? Because I know with cooking, that takes a lot of time. So how do you manage everything that you do and what drew inspiration to writing these books?
Yep. So I got into my actual book journey writing But I realized that once I got on social media, which was Instagram, that people would ask me, hey, bro, can you send me a recipe? Hey, can you send me a recipe? Can you send me, because I would just post different food every night. Before I know it, I got a whole notepad full of recipes. So I said, you know what? Let me just figure out how I can put these into a book. Because I had about 30 of them. So I go online, look online to see how I can self-publish. Found out how to self-publish, put my first book online. It's a wrap from there. Because once you do one, now you want to do a second one, third. And, you know, you keep going.
Gotcha.
So
what can people find in the books? Like, what type of books are they?
Yep. So first book, just straight recipes, normal, everyday cooking at home recipes. Second one, was around the time that I had my first daughter.
Okay.
So it's a children's recipe book.
Okay.
Recipes that I was just cooking for her from age 5 months all the way to 2 years old.
Okay.
Third book is a self-help book showing people how to meal prep, because people come ask me, yo, how do you meal prep so fast? And, you know, where do I get started? So I show them how to meal prep from beginning to end, how to grocery shop, what items to purchase, what items not to purchase, you know, so you don't just store spring mix in your refrigerator for 2 weeks and you ain't making salads, you know what I'm saying? And the rest of them are pretty much just children's books, you know what I'm saying? Because that was around the time I had my second daughter. So I'm like, children really need to learn the ins and outs of culinary arts. And my daughter's like, if you see the things that they eat at their age, you know, adults don't even eat oxtails. And my 2-year-old will sit there and clean the bone of an oxtail. You know, goat, lamb chops. They're asking for these random dishes on a random Wednesday evening. So
that's dope.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of oxtails, why you ain't bring us no oxtail cheddar bay biscuits, man? Look at the biscuits, bro.
Man, oxtail cheddar bay biscuits topped off with a little bit of honey butter on top. My goodness, bro.
Y'all gotta follow him, man.
I'm upset.
Every time I'm on his page, I'm hungry even after I just ate. That's how good the food look. I can only imagine what it tastes like. Mm-hmm. So that's what's up.
And you coming in hot. I don't know why I thought you paid for the Timberwolves. I think that's why I called you Anthony Edwards. You came back. I'm like, Chef Ann Edwards. I wrote Ann in my notes up, you the Thomas. But this is Chef Ann Thomas. Don't get it messed up. You know, they're not getting messed up. But quick question for you. You already kind of spoke on it. So when you came up with the idea for Ashley Eats and Mommy, Daddy, What Is This?
Yep.
Like, was there a moment that really sparked those interests to do that book? Or was it someone that you saw that maybe said, damn, I want to do that, but this is my twist on how I'm going to do it?
Yep. So Ashley Eats is a collection of recipes that I was cooking for my daughter, but I was also making the videos for this.
Okay.
This is back when Instagram would only give you 15 seconds.
Oh, listen, OG IG.
You remember that, right?
Yes.
So that's how long ago that was. I would make a 15-second video, guacamole, mixed with breast milk.
That's crazy.
Boom. Butternut squash, make it in the oven. Mixed with breast milk. Everything mixed with breast milk. But I also show people that if you're not breastfeeding, use infant milk, you know. But that's how you make it more of a creamy texture. Now, that Mommy, Daddy, What Is This? Is actually a phrase that my daughter would say when we were going weddings, Harris Teeter, Mom's, Whole Foods.
What is this?
Mommy, what is this? Daddy, what is this? You know, Daddy, what is this?
So simple.
So that book literally is A to Z. It's 26 pages. A is for apple. You know, B for broccoli, C for cauliflower, D for dates, E for eggs, you know, and,
so adaptable.
It educates children to identify different fruits, vegetables, and other items in the grocery store.
I love that. I love that. Y'all hear that? There's so many different ways to get through to these babies, man. Mm-hmm. Make it simple, make it adaptable, make it something that can be fun.
As opposed to just chicken tenders, french fries. And I don't knock it, that's what you're feeding them. There's so much more that kids will eat if you introduce it to them.
Yeah.
I gotta ask you some questions. I might have to ask you later on, because I have a son, nonverbal autistic, and dieting is so important in our world. And I honestly, as a parent, it's hard, and we probably maybe started a little too late to try to get him on that such a strict diet. Mm-hmm. So it's a little difficult, but I'm sure you probably got some tricks and some ideas. So I would definitely love to get into that. Maybe you can share that on camera for people in that community.
Yeah, most definitely.
So
I know we on the topic of nourishment. Has food outside of cooking it, the type of foods that you cook, has it played anywhere in your health journey?
Yeah.
On your life? Most tell definitely. Us a little bit about it.
Yep. So in 2006, I became a vegan.
Okay.
I became a vegan because I had a real poor diet. I was at Louis State. And
what were you eating before? What was your poor diet? What did that look like?
Carry out, fast food, stuff that is high in sodium. So that triggered me to have a seizure.
Mm-hmm.
And when I had that seizure, I had got rushed to PG Hospital. PG Hospital didn't know what was going on with me. And I went to GW and they said that I had an ulterior venous malformation. Mm-hmm. I had to have overhead brain surgery. something you're born with. Only 1 in 100,000 people have it. So,
tell people what that is for them who may not know what that is.
So, an arterial venous malformation is basically where blood should flow through your brain freely, but it doesn't because something is tangled up.
Got it.
Causes migraines, causes headaches. And I used to have them so much as a kid, and I don't know, my parents never took me to go get a CAT scan. So, you know, I could have hemorrhaged, but by the grace of God, you know, it was triggered early. I found out. I decided to get surgery because they say you can leave. You know, no harm, no foul. But if that thing hemorrhaged, you might die. I can't live with the inevitable. I'm one of the people like, yo, just tell me what it is right now.
I'm like that.
We can go do it. They said, look, it's only a 3% chance you'll die. Only? Man, look, let's do it.
Yeah.
Went in, had the surgery. Successful. Equilibrium was thrown off when I first tried to walk again. You know, I was messed up. But ultimately, I walked away from that and never had another headache again.
God bless.
I'm talking 2006. How many years is that?
From now, man, that was, that was about 17 years ago.
I'm talking, I never had another headache or migraine again. And I just give it all to God. So with that, I changed my diet. I became a vegan for 4 years, taking meat out of my diet, just hoping that maybe, like, it would just eliminate any issues. And, you know, vegan diet, had my skin all glossy and clear. I lost a lot of weight. So I promote veganism. I tell people, look, try veganism. As long as you can, and you know, it cures things on its own. Like, I mean, I tell people you just go on a Daniel fast, which is just fruit, vegetables, you know.
So Daniel fast?
Yes.
Gotcha.
That right there is like a natural detox.
Okay.
You know, it cures things that people don't even realize. There's different movies on Netflix that touch on it, but you know, we can go into detail about that later, but I stand behind
the book.
No, we love it, man. We love it. Listen, this man is dropping nothing but jewels and gems, and I know a lot of people need this. A lot of people need this information because it almost seems unobtainable to get to a certain health level or to eat a certain way. You need direction. It's like a person that wants to go to the gym but doesn't want to look funny working out because they don't know any workouts. So they just sit and look and see what other people are doing. So it's like when you have a person that's been through it and wasn't always like this, it shows you it can be done.
Okay. I'll say one more thing, too. Go for it.
We love it.
There was a guy that came up to me at the Redskins game. A guy that came up to me at the Commanders game, right? And he said, yo, I got diabetic issues.
Okay.
I said, cool. I said, you on medication? He's like, I'm on a high dosage. I said, give me a call tomorrow. He called. I said, you know, most people don't. He called. I said, this is what we need to do. Buy a juicer. He said, can you send me a link? I sent him a link. I said, when you buy it, hit me up. Because I'm like, if you're not, you're just wasting my time.
Right.
He sent me the picture. I got the juicer. He bought the juicer. Boom. Now I said, here's the recipes. He said, is this one going to help me? I said, celery, mix with cucumber, lemon, and lime, and ginger. Beets, mix with apple, blood orange, regular orange, lemon, lime. Carrot, that's more sweet.
But the whole playbook. Right?
Exactly. From beginning to end. And now, he's sending pictures. Yo, my blood pressure is 109 over 70. I've never seen this in 25 years. Bro, when I'm sitting there reading, I'm like, that's the Lord's work, man. Like, that's what I do it for, man. To see someone who hadn't had their blood pressure that low in over 25 years heal himself just from juicing. And juicing heals blood pressure. You got liver issues, acne.
Gotcha.
You got digestion issues. I got the recipe.
And that was for the love, though, right? You ain't charging nothing for that.
Nothing. I don't want no money.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, even if you all, yo, man, let me send you something. Nah. Hey, bro. You paying me back by just listening to me and actually implementing it.
Saved a life. Mm-hmm. Nourishment through conversation, people. Mm-hmm. You never know who you can heal, man.
And it's a million ways to get to the bag. And you're going to get to the bag if it's really meant for you to get to the bag. But when you have an opportunity to provide nourishment or nourish another individual, especially when you didn't already been through it yourself, take that opportunity because it is God's work, believe it or not. Or whatever you do believe in, you're working for a higher power. So I have one more question in the when, who, what, where, why. Where do you plan on taking your culinary empire? Is there, like, everybody has a ceiling. Everybody sometimes wants to own a restaurant. Some people maybe just want to continue doing the work that you're already doing. You already do a lot in the community. Mm-hmm. So is there like, do you have an end goal? Is there like somewhere you see as this like, I don't know in your industry what an Oscar would be or what a Grammy would be, but like, do you see a moment that you would love to get to or saving lives like the individual who you helped juice? Mm-hmm. Is that the goal, just to continue to do that?
Well, I can tell you one thing, it's not owning the restaurant.
Gotcha.
And a lot of people think that owning the restaurant is the end all be all, not realizing that it's the highest business that fails in America.
Drop that.
Repeat that one more time.
Drop that.
Owning and operating a restaurant is one of the highest leading businesses that fails in 36 months, you know, due to so many different poor management, you know, poor purchasing skills, whatever it is, you know. I offer a luxury service, which is me coming in and offering upscale catering, upscale personal chef services. So if I make it so accessible where people can get it every single day, they won't value it as much.
Got it.
You know what I'm saying? Having one and just having it behind the scenes, maybe, but like, I love just going into people's homes, going into their venues, doing their weddings, their private parties, their corporate events on a regular basis, and being able to build up these elaborate tables with amazing food and amazing spreads that people don't even want to eat immediately. They want to take a picture and make a video. Like, to me, that's what warms my heart.
Got it.
You know what I'm saying? And you make pretty good money doing it. You know, and the more accolades, awards, and accomplishments that you get over the years, raise the price.
Yeah. So that's no shot to people who may have dreams of opening a restaurant.
Yeah.
He just spitting facts. Mm-hmm. And that leads to a question. So one chef that pops in mind, I believe, from the DMV is Chef Tobias.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the name of their crew? Or that new, the most recent restaurant that they opened. But I know it was like a collaborative restaurant where multiple chefs came in. Are you in agreement that those type of plans may be more beneficial, more helpful if you got multiple chefs coming to the table to potentially start a restaurant? Or you just think that what you said earlier mainly just pertains to those one-man act type of shows?
Personally, I don't see multiple chefs coming into one under one roof and working.
Mm-hmm.
I just personally don't see it because me being in this industry for 16 years, it's too many egos.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody wants to be the man. Nobody wants to be seen at the bottom. And, you know, I can just always see that, like, somehow down the line, people clashing and bumping heads. I work with a lot of chefs. I got a bunch of chefs on my team, and I love the mentorship aspect where they had me in the defense of, yo, hey, chef, quick question. What's the difference between this and this? Hey, chef, quick question. Somebody just called me for an event. They told me, can they buy the food? Can they do that? You know what I'm saying? Like, I enjoy that aspect of it. And, you know, those chefs are groomable.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, having people like that on my team, it just makes it so much more enjoyable.
So would you agree that you're not canceling out working with other chefs?
Exactly.
But nothing long term. Maybe just events here and there, giving wisdom here and there.
Bingo.
There we go. That's the chef game for you.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way to operate.
If you're groomable and you're willing to learn, because I'm still learning every single day. I'm still studying. I'm reading recipes. If you think you know it all, recipe for disaster, man. I've seen it. But if you are willing to learn and, you know, build with another chef and, you know, y'all bounce ideas.
Right.
I think that we should do that. Boom. Both of y'all will go to the top.
Right. All y'all go to the top. Absolutely.
You know, honor sharpens iron. I say that to them all the time. You know, before they met, honor sharpens iron.
Facts. Mm-hmm. Facts. So always know yourself. I always say this about any relationship. You got to know who you are before you step into anything. And that's in a working relationship, and a relationship could be your wife. You got to know who you are to even deal with another individual. Because when shit hits the fan, most people clamber up and they go into that phase where you can lose a relationship and mess something up. So be sharp before you collaborate with anybody. Know your business, know your game, and then make things happen, because this is about nourishment and you can learn from other people. But at the same time, you got to be very sharp with your day in and day out. So moving forward, so you good on who, what, but what, where,
no,
why?
I have another one.
Go for it. I had one that I feel like you asked a great question. I feel like he knocked it out of the park, because I was gonna ask what was your toughest moment. Like, if you could remember one, post or pre, when you got the diagnosis. Like, is there a moment that like stood out that was like, damn, like you almost questioned yourself? Like, from what you've said so far, you seem very faith-based. Mm-hmm. You seem like a person that obviously has a belief. Mm-hmm. So I was going to ask that question, but I feel like you answered a lot of it. If you have any more to say, you can. Yeah. But when Sel asked you a question, you said a lot.
I like that. I think that's a good question. Is it a specific moment for you?
Other than that? I don't know. I just think so confidently that even if something goes wrong right here, there's another door that's open on the upside. Mm-hmm. I can tell you this, though. There was a time when that changed my business. And the average person, or maybe average chef, may not have been able to take this on the chin. But I did an event in September 2019. Don't ask me how I know. It was in September 2019.
That's pandemic time.
Yep.
Almost in 2020.
Right around the corner. Yeah. And this woman said, I did an event. She hired me on a Monday. She called me on a Monday to hire me for a Wednesday event. I typically don't do that. Too short of notice. Did it. She said, my event is from 6 to 10. I'm like, okay, cool. Make sure all your guests are there at 6. Make sure everybody's served. I know the event ain't going to go to 10 o'clock. Menu started off with crab cakes, appetizer, salad. Salad was for the appetizer. And then the main course was a steak dinner, asparagus tips, palm puree, mashed potatoes. Boom. I don't know why I remember all these details.
Man, you saw my
beautiful heart. House, man. Yeah. Beautiful home, beautiful China. Plated everything up. Boom. I didn't even have my team with me that day because it was such short notice. She hired people to come. And, you know, it's like 8:45 and nobody's here. But you told me that the event started at 6, meaning I got there at 4. I got there 2 hours early. Mm-hmm. So now I'm in overtime because I'm with you for an hour and a half. I think that 90 minutes, dinner, you know, be done. 8:45, first guest walks in. So, long story short, I don't leave till 11. Mm-hmm. I let your assistant know, hey, I'm going to be here for, I'm here in overtime. She said, oh, yeah, we'll pay you for it later. Don't worry about it. Next day, I get an email. The crab cakes were dry. The salad had this mysterious salad dressing. We didn't even like the salad. The steak was overcooked. But that's funny because y'all ate everything. All the plates were clear. I washed dishes. The last part she said, and you call yourself a chef. You didn't even entertain us. So to me, that triggered to me. I was like, you didn't entertain us. What type of entertainment does she want? You want me to flip shrimp in your mouth? Or like, this is not a hibachi style event. So I thought about it, and I was like, I'm going to start entertaining my guests. And that's when I started putting on a show, which was I bought these gravy boats, and I would do like a sauce pour. I'm like, hey, everybody come on over here. I'm going to let y'all know exactly what it is. Right here we got the chopped Caesar salad. Right here we got the Maryland style crab cakes with a remoulade sauce right here. Right now we got this. Boom. People start recording. I'm an entertainer now. So in that projected my everything, like you telling me I didn't entertain you, made me doubt myself and say, "Damn, I didn't entertain them." But I'm not an entertainer. I'm the chef. You know what? Now I'm gonna be the chef and the entertainer. Now you gotta see it on social media from a mile away, and I'm never coming back to do your event because I kind of feel slighted.
You know what I'm saying?
And I want you to see it, and I want you to be like, wish I could have got some entertainment like that.
But it helped me
to gain a different audience. And so now the audience is like, I don't see no chefs out here explaining all the food and pouring sauces on the stuff at the same time. And I'm like, oh, here, you pour the sauce right here. And I got somebody filming it, and they pouring sauces, and now it becomes interactive.
Mm-hmm.
So that took things to another level.
That's great lead into my next question, because I wanted to touch a little bit more about your business acumen. And one of the ways that you do a spinoff on social media that I love is how you do a video pretending that you're on the phone with a client.
Yeah.
He'll go through a scenario, and at the end, you putting your foot down and you letting it be known that I'm one of them people. But I had to grow to get to that point. Mm-hmm. So, can you share a funny or memorable reaction you've received from a client after posting one of those videos? Like, has the client seen it? Like, well, I know he was talking about me.
Yes. I had one actually write me and say, you could have told me you were going to make a video about me before you made the video. And I said, well, I changed the lady to a guy, and I changed the dollar figures because I didn't want it to be the exact dollar figure. But I felt like your situation was more informative and educational. I said, maybe I should have let you know. Mm-hmm. I said, but I thought if I changed things.
That was guilt.
And that's why it is. Mm. That's why now, if you look, there's a disclaimer. These videos are for educational and entertainment and educational purposes only. Like, so don't take offense if you be like, hold on, that's not like my conversation with him. It's going to help somebody.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying your name. Yeah. Can I speak to Laquita? Yeah, this is Laquita right here. Nah, I'm not going to use your name.
You know what I'm saying? So, y'all love the fact that when you... You take a high accountability to a lot of your decision making. I appreciate anybody that's doing that. And you also build off of it too. So that's inspirational in itself. I mean, anybody that's watching this and you one of them people that have had them type of client interactions or any situations that may have brought you down or created that self-doubt, sometimes you got to really just sit back and look at yourself in the mirror, hold yourself accountable, and then come up with that new plan to move forward, man. So I really appreciate you sharing that story, man.
Yeah, man, you answer all of the questions very, 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 you know, great. We appreciate all of the insight that you gave us. I feel like the audience and the viewers and the listeners definitely have a little bit more insight on who you are as a chef and as a person. So now it's time to get loose a little bit, man. It's time, we call a segment called Rapid Fire Questions. Mm-hmm. This isn't meant for you to overthink it or go crazy deep into any of your answers. Mm-hmm. Just me and Saul gonna shoot some questions at you, about four or five a piece, and just go off the top, man. First thing you think of or the moment that sparks the interest. The man over here, Mr. Spitfire, loves to shoot his shots. So my brother.
Shots, but I got some crazy shit.
Let's get to it.
First, are you in a relationship?
Married,
okay. Mm-hmm. So. You probably gonna ask you that this is your wife, but I was gonna say, name one woman you admire that you would cook for, and what would it be? So, what's that makeup meal that you make for your wife on a bad day where you might have messed up, you might have forgot something important, and you gotta bring out the chef skills? Like, baby, don't forget who I am. Like, what you making?
This man probably dangerous on the business meal.
Easy. Any type of pasta dish. It's gonna put it on. Preferably a seafood pasta dish.
Okay.
Yep.
Love it.
For any ladies that ever want to cook for me, a seafood pasta dish will also work if you are hurt my feelings or whatever, you know.
Yes.
Catering events or writing books?
Catered events, most definitely.
Catered events all the way? Got you. Is there a reason why? Quickly.
I just love the people. I love that every single event is 100 times different than the last event.
Got it.
And I tell, hold on, I tell every chef, you can walk into an event and you're going to be thrown a curveball. Every event's not going to go as planned. You might get in there and the countertop might not be clean. You might get in there and it might not be no fridge space for you to store stuff. Just implement. Get in there, move things around. So I just love that you never know what you're getting into, even though you plan everything A to Z.
Out of T, gotcha.
So we in a food fight. We're going against the other team. What's our five weapons of choice?
Yep.
Nothing solid.
Nothing solid. We're going yams. We going all sloppy stuff. Yams.
One.
Grits.
Two.
Ooh.
We going with some cheap stuff. We going to go with some inexpensive. Let's go with a ground turkey.
Three.
Ground turkey with extra glaze. I mean gravy.
Those three alone is a goddamn mess.
I think
mess.
About something that's going to just cause a stain. What's that one that's going to stain the jacket?
Oh, yeah. We can go with some curry water.
Okay.
Curry water. Or beet water. It's not coming out.
So you got fries, curry water and beet water.
Last but not least, a handful of crab meat.
Because
a lot of people are allergic to it.
Oh, my God.
Shellfish.
Hey, I've been getting a food fight. I'm calling the chef.
I think Sel has got the first guest that's just as wicked with him with the thoughts and the things that they would do in quick moments. God. Okay, moving on. So, I feel like you gave me one earlier with the juicing, but I feel like you got many, and I feel like stories like this can inspire so many. Mm-hmm. Give me another time or moment you saw an opportunity to provide nourishment for someone else, and not your family.
2007.
Awesome.
I was going to a lot. Me and my wife had season tickets to the Wizards game. And we would always drive through the 3rd Street Tunnel. And as you get off of the tunnel, it's a bunch of homeless people right there. I said, you know what? And you know, Wizards State, Cap 1, is, you know, they start their season around like October. So it was getting kind of cold. But that year was kind of, it was a lot colder. I said, you know what? I be leaving from events sometimes and, you know, I be having extra food. Let me just go ahead and start feeding. So I would prepackage different foods and I would take it out there to them. And I tried to take it to a different level by writing the mayor and, you know, different politicians, which I got ignored. you know, give or take, to get a commercial kitchen space in D.C. so I can feed the homeless residents on a regular, since they won't provide, you know, a residence for them. And, you know, I still got great pleasure out of still feeding them the food that I would have. And,
that's amazing, you know, like, people don't do stuff like that on a day-to-day at all. So, yeah, no, it's amazing.
100%.
If you could challenge any celebrity chef to a friendly cook-off, who would it be?
Celebrity chef
to any chef, celebrity chef, anybody to a cook-off, who is going to be?
I'd probably say the one who I think cooks the most like me, and I, well, I cook the most like them because he's older, Bobby Flay.
Okay.
Yeah. Most definitely.
If you had a special dish that you're going to pull out to go against them with, you got anything in mind?
I'm going to probably go with a fusion dish because I see, I watch Beat Bobby Flay often, and they don't do as much fusion. It's simply just one specific item. So it'd be like,
you have to tell us a little
pork chops.
I know we're supposed to be keeping this short, but I'm lost. What's the fusion, man?
A fusion dish, so like a dish that fuses from two different parts of America.
Okay.
I mean, America. Two different parts of the world.
Okay.
So like Afro-Latin or Latin-Asian or something like that.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Yeah.
So my next question, I always, one of us always like to put you in a certain place and time and then see what you would do. You're on an island of your choice with either your wife, family, or a potential business partner. The mood is set, your favorite artist from your favorite genre of music is playing, everything's clicking. Choose who is on the island and what you're cooking for this moment.
Ooh.
This is the win over moment. Like, I'm gonna get this deal done. It's like the golf games that they talk about on business trips where all the business gets done.
We on the island. Let's go to Jamaica.
Okay.
I
like it.
You know, you might not have a lot of electricity on the island.
I know, right?
I might got work.
We got
to Jamaica, man.
We got a fire grill though.
Gotcha.
Let's go and take the fire grill.
Okay, in Jamaica.
We're going to get my electric blender that, you know, since they ain't got no electricity, I ain't got to plug it up. Bluetooth. I plug it up and charge it up. I'm going to make jerk paste from scratch.
Mm.
And I'm going to show them how us Americans make jerk chicken.
Okay.
We can mix that up with, instead of doing rice and peas, we can do like a fried rice. Let's go with a vegan fried rice. Sauteed onions, bell peppers, garlic, chili oil. Toasted sesame oil, cook that up, a little bit of grapeseed oil, rice. Let's go with a veggie. We'll do some fried cabbage. Yeah.
I want that right now. Listen here, all the foodies and all you girls that like to eat, this is like the chef Odell Beckham over here, man. This man is over here ripping in the kitchen.
I was just ready to say, he walked in with the mama mentality off the chef tip, like, he just already know. That's dope, man. That's good to know.
Got to you.
I got a scenario. You're making food for a Super Bowl party coming up, and you have a huge mishap 2 hours before kickoff. What you gonna do, and what's your backup plan?
What's the mishap?
I don't know. You drop the food. Somewhere, this food that you've already made has been destroyed.
Okay.
So you got 2 hours left, man. What's your backup plan?
So now what we're gonna do is we're gonna create a cold menu. So nothing that we got sitting, because I was thinking about stove bro, but yeah, okay. We're gonna make items that are, we're gonna make a spread with menu items that take less than 2 hours to create.
Okay.
We're gonna go to Whole Foods. We're gonna take some naan. We're gonna get some cream cheese, some regular cheese, some heavy cream. We're gonna make some dips. We're gonna make three different types of dips.
Okay.
We're gonna spinach dip. We can make some Philly cheesesteak dip, and sorry, I don't even like saying Philly cheesesteak. We're gonna make cheesesteak dip, and we'll make a seafood dip. So we'll do the seafood dip with crushed salmon, crab, and lobster, because people don't like crawfish, but I love crawfish. We're gonna do the beef shavings for the dip, for the cheesesteak dip. We're gonna add a little bit of Parmesan cheese, a little mozzarella cheese, sharp cheddar, and Gouda. Four different cheeses in that one. And then, so we got three different dips, but we got the naan bread with that. All right, so that's appetizer. Over here, we're gonna do some polpette con sugo, right? We're gonna take some ground bison and ground turkey. Boom, roll those up, have those bacon in the oven. That's those only going to take about 30 minutes. So we got the meat, protein, we got the dip. Of course, we're going to do a chopped salad. We're going to make a dressing from scratch with all the different oils. We can still get some wings done, but we're going to bake those in the oven. We need one more item.
I'm glad you know.
Let's do some kale.
I need this footage before Super Bowl weekend.
Listen, this is get the job done 101 over here. Like, oh my gracious.
I need to get the menu for that.
Finish it off.
Take some kale. We're going to put it in the big-ass bowl. Can't cuss.
You can. You can.
We're going to take some kale. We're going to put it in a big-ass bowl. A little balsamic vinegar, chili oil, grapeseed oil. We're going to massage it in. Okay. Like how you massage a woman. We're going to massage it in.
I'm here with you.
Pink Himalayan sea salt.
Okay.
Garlic powder, onion powder. Boom. Just keep on massaging, right? Finish it off. A little honey glaze. Put that in. I mean, just let it just sit there. You know, set cooking the rest of the stuff. Mm-hmm. So we got the green. We got the carb. We can make mac and cheese in about 2 hours.
I'm there.
Mac and cheese. We're going to have the noodles already boiling. And we're going to have the potatoes already boiling right there because we're going to make some mashed potatoes. Finish the mashed potatoes off with the heavy cream. Same seasoning blend. Because we got all these ingredients. So when you buy these ingredients, you'll remix them different ways.
You're turning a mishap to a masterpiece,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Yeah. And you still can do that. You just got to get to that grocery store and get back to the house in enough time.
Crazy thing about this, if you didn't say the word mishap, I forgot what the question was. I just wanted the meal. I'm like, yo, this is amazing. Oh, man, yo, you're an amazing chef. I can just tell from the videos and just the way you talk about the food. Yeah. I think that's the part of it, being that this is for the love of nourishment. Just the way you speak about it, like the passion behind it, the love for it. It's like, I hope it's going to jump off the screen because sitting here, I can just tell how much into what you do. I had 2 more questions, but I can ask one more. I'm not going to say who is the better cook because that's how I wrote it. Mm-hmm. Is there a meal your wife makes better than you?
If you ask her, yes. And I'll let her have it because we like our scrambled eggs 2 different ways.
All right.
She likes hers with milk and all this other stuff, super, super fluffy.
Gotcha.
Me personally, I don't care how the eggs are. I eat scrambled eggs.
Gotcha.
I just love the protein. I just love the way the eggs taste. So mine may be a little bit burnt. You know what I'm saying? I may cook mine a little fluffy. I don't even care.
They cook so fast. You know what I'm
saying? Somebody be the egg. She's the egg guru.
She's the egg guru, but I tell you one thing she does, and I still implement her recipe to this day, her French toast recipe.
Nice. Mm.
Yeah, big French toast guy.
Gotcha. Shout out to your wife, man. Yeah,
for sure. My last question is, and you can answer it or you can skip it. Share a unique or fun experience involving food in the bedroom.
This man about to go in and do. So listen, 2013. No, go off.
So I'm such a OCD individual. I don't like food outside the kitchen. Like, my kids leave out, and my daughter, she eating something, and she run out the room, and you see a trail of rice, or she'll eat the lamb chop, it's so good, she just throw the bone on the floor and whatnot. It drive me nuts. No food in the bedroom. You might be able to play with a little bit of whipped cream, little chocolate syrup,
or something
like that. The cocktails in the bedroom, that's a whole different story.
Ladies, y'all dating a chef.
Mixologists.
Ladies, I know how y'all be thinking sometimes. Y'all dating a chef, as you can see, don't try to bring no food to the bedroom for a chef. OCD and attention to detail is at an all-time high. So
that breakfast in bed thing is just not...
Yeah, that's
not... It doesn't turn me on.
Cliche.
And it's the same thing as, like, when I see people, like, with strawberries and the wine and all that stuff in the bathroom. That bathroom air. Nah, man. I'll eat my food right outside the bathroom before I walk in. I'm not eating.
Dropping gems.
Yeah.
And it's crazy that y'all said that because I don't know if y'all saw it. It was kind of going viral after Justin Timberlake dropped his new single on Friday. His wife, Jessica Biel, was talking about the foods that she liked to eat in the shower. And it was killing her in the comments. Like, killing her. Like, I'm like, and I like Jessica Biel. She's always been to me like a cool actress and a cool person. But when she shows,
I've never wanted to eat in the bathroom.
I've never wanted to eat in the shower.
That's
just
anything.
I mean, in the bedroom, I'm not going to lie. But not in the bathroom.
Yeah,
in the
bathroom is wild. That's
a little different.
Yeah, that's wild.
That's nasty work.
But listen, shout out to you, man. Maybe you do double duty. I don't know. Do what you
got
to do.
Yeah, one more.
My last rapid fire was just going to be, is there something that you love that most people would not know that you do? Like our last guest, she owns a janitorial service, and she said that she loved to crochet. So like stuff like that, is there like something that the people may not know is like solid about actually?
Even if it's something you just picked up on in the last couple years.
I found myself enjoying learning about history from the 70s, 80s, and 90s. Like that era just seems so unique.
Okay.
So when I sit there and I watch different things, like how DC was in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, like crime during that time period, you know, politics during that era. And there's actually a great YouTube station that highlights the whole 70s, the whole 71, the whole 72. Mm-hmm. And I've been watching that series and I'm like, dang, man, the world was so different.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? And how we just evolved and gotten to where we got now. Yes. You know, you learn to appreciate it, but you're like, dang, man.
That's right. So I know it's a lot of things.
I don't know how they made it back then. Right. Like getting from point A to point B without a navigation.
Resilient and perseverance.
Yeah.
So history. Yeah. So that's the love. Yeah, history. Yeah, gotcha. Gotcha. Y'all set for me, so on the rapid fire. You good?
We good, man. We made it through another session. Rapid fire.
Yeah, man. Great job. Great questions, my brother. So our next segment that we go into after that, which I feel like you've given a lot. This is like these last three things we're going into is pretty much going into the end of the show. Mm-hmm. And this first one is called Hidden Gems. Sal normally describes it a little bit, and I'll let him get into it.
So Hidden Gems is, I feel like in every career or profession, us as entrepreneurs, we develop these nuances or we learn these tricks to our trade. And it's that one thing that put the battery in our back for us to just go go. You're like, oh, yeah. I just learned that.
Right.
Oh, I've been doing this for this long. You ain't tell me this. Yeah. What is that one moment for you? What is that hidden gem in your career that you would love to share with the people that once you learned it, you took off?
That's a great question. I'm going to say that I study my competition. My competition meaning the other chefs, at-home cooks, content creators, people who call themselves chefs who aren't really chefs. I study these individuals in all categories. Like, when I say study, I'm looking, I'm like, okay. And I see, okay, they're going left, I go right. Okay, they're all making crab cake egg rolls. That's the new trendy dish.
Sure is.
I'm not making it. They're making lasagna soup. I'm not making it. You know, in creating unique dishes. That's why I said I do fusion. But if you see like this past week, like the apple pie bombs, the oxtail cheddar bay biscuits, when you create these dishes, they're not goofy dishes. They're not like stuff that, and I can't even think of any.
Stuff that you see at Applebee's.
Right. Like
popcorn, mac and cheese. And shit.
Right. Weird stuff. Like, that's odd.
Right.
These are dishes that people will be like, how the hell did he come up with that? But damn, that look good.
And it still tastes good.
Yeah, exactly. I want you to be like, that looks so good. I'm about to get on Instacart right now.
Trying to order buy it almost.
Yeah. Or hold up. I got all of those ingredients in my kitchen. I'm about to make this right now. You know, when I realized that making simple dishes taste top tier, it just took things to another level when I'm creating those content videos and, you know, getting feedback. When people write me, I'm writing them. I'm like, yo, let me know how it came out. Yo, tell me how your family loved it. And people write back. Me writing back and getting the response back from people like, yo, my family loved it. That warms my heart. I did what I had to do.
So would you say the gem in that is to pick a direction?
Pick a direction, yeah.
Gotcha. Keep it simple, though, so you who you
pick,
are.
Pick a direction and we'll study your competition. Mm-hmm. Pick a direction, but do not follow them.
Got it.
Like I said, if they're going that way, I'm going this way.
Yeah.
And that's going to set you apart. So when people see your stuff, it's not like, here you go, the same old fried chicken, same old collard greens, same old potato salad, pasta salad, mac and cheese. You know, the same dishes. Put a spin on the same everyday dishes or dishes that aren't being created, or create your own.
Gotcha.
You creating your own is going to set you 100 times apart from other people in your family.
Michelle Obama said, when they go low, we go high. Mm-hmm. Chef Ant said, when y'all go left, we go
high. Alright, that's going to be, you know that's getting flipped up. That's a special one right there. I got family across the table.
That was
pretty good.
Yeah.
So this is a moment where our next segment, awesome gem. I think the people definitely could get something from that. People that starting in anything from the social media aspect, as you said, or being a chef. There's definitely a lot they can learn from that gem. Mm-hmm. So our next segment is our inspirational moment. And this is almost like I zoom in shot where you talk directly to the camera and you leave a moment that it doesn't have to be specifically towards cooking. It can be towards being a husband, mm-hmm. towards being a father. Yeah. It could be towards anything that you hold dear to your heart and you want to nourish our viewers and listeners with for this episode or your followers that are going to tune into this. And a message you just want, you know, it's the first month of 2024. Mm-hmm. This is a very, very tone setter type of year in my heart, in my life. So maybe you feel the same way. You want to leave that moment to
people. I always say, for this moment, imagine looking into the mirror and you talking to your younger self or somebody that may be wanting to step in your profession and you just giving them that inspirational message that they may need to push for.
Yeah, so I'll tell you this. If you're getting into this field for the money, the clout, the fame, the followers, the likes, the shares, the retweets, the views, you're in the wrong field. If you're getting into culinary arts because you truly have a passion for making an impact in one industry, you're in the right industry. You're in the right field. If you feel like this year or next year, even if you don't make a dime, you still would do it 2-3 years from now, you're in the right field. If you think you're gonna make $1 million this year, you might be right. But you might be wrong. Being in this industry for the money and money alone will lead you to unhappiness. I didn't hit 6 figures in my business until I started in 2008 until 2017. That's 9 years of being under 6 figures. Still make good money, but if you think, oh, like I said, I'm making $1 million overnight, it does not work like that. You know, if you think that going viral is going to change your life, it doesn't do it. I've gone viral on Twitter and Instagram 6 times in 2024, and it's only 30 days into the year. And I still get to go outside to my car and drive to my regular house, and guess what? I'm going to wake up tomorrow and make another content video. Don't compromise your morals, your integrity, your, you know, your everyday religious views and, you know, compromising who you are to go for a viral moment. It doesn't make sense to me.
Integrity over cover.
100%, man.
Man, that might have been just off the top in real time. That might have been one of the best inspirational moments that I've heard just based off how you led into it. It's pretty much about doing it for the love.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to take care of their family. Everybody wants to get to a point where you don't have to work for someone else. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, if you're not passionate about whatever it is you're doing, it's going to hit some type of wall and you're not even going to stick to who you thought you were or what you were putting out there to gain viewership and followers and all of the stuff that you put time behind. So do what you do for the love, man. Be very, very protective of your shit and mean it when you do it and you put it out into the world for it to blossom. So moving forward from that, our next segment is pretty much, we don't have to talk business no more. We don't have to talk about Chef Ant, the goddamn food guru. I don't know what I called you a minute ago. The Odell Beckham of culinary arts. This man is sick with it. But this is a moment for us to talk about anything that you might have seen so far in this 30 days of 2024. Mm-hmm. Or it doesn't have to be this year. But it's a moment that you want to maybe speak on and maybe we can elaborate on it. Or it's just something that you want to be like, almost like a PSA for something. It's like, you know what? This ain't got nothing to do with me, but I need y'all to do better or something mm-hmm. for anybody in the world for yourself.
Yep. This might get deep. I mean,
do what you gotta do.
All right. So remember, I was telling you that literally just this year, I've had 6 viral posts. Some stuff that was me. Some stuff that's not even me.
Right.
I sat there because I'm a tough dude. I can read the comments. I can laugh.
Right.
I'm gonna tell you this much: if you're not a tough-skinned individual, get off social media. If you can't handle what people say.
Yesterday.
I had people saying the craziest stuff to me, and I'm like,
"It
is what it is."
Disrespectful, right?
Yeah, I'm talking about like crazy disrespect. Like, I mean, people talk about, man, you got a big head, man. Man, you What did somebody say? Yo, you got a shit. Big back.
Nothing to do with cooking.
Yeah, I'm just like, they're saying all sorts of mean stuff. What I'm saying is this. Like, stay rooted in who you truly are and don't allow what the internet or anybody outside says to you to affect who you are. Gotcha. You know what I'm saying? Because there's some cruel and evil individuals out here, and as long as you know, these people are fighting demons, man. There are people out here fighting demons. There are people out here. They're not getting the mental health that they need.
Right.
And, you know, you just another individual on the other side of the screen who they're projecting their negativity on. Just stay positive.
Gotcha.
You wake up, the fact that you wake up every single morning and you can see, you can hear, you can taste, you can touch, you can feel, and you can walk all by yourself without even thinking.
Talk to him.
You are blessed. So anything else that goes on throughout the day, oh man, my phone died. Who cares? You know, somebody gets into an argument. Nothing is
small stuff.
Nothing's over just being able to have good health.
Gotcha.
You know what I'm saying? Don't sweat that small stuff, you know.
And I appreciate that because we have a way of things just naturally coming together. And we started off in the intro talking about people moving around out here with unfed souls. Mm-hmm. Those are the people that's going to create the most damage to our world, to themselves, to other people. And a lot of times it's hard for people to not take it personal. But as he said, those people are fighting demons.
Yes.
They are hurt. All three of us probably could share stories of people in our personal lives that have done things to us that were unfair, not right to us, but we still love them unconditionally because we know that there's a lot that they're dealing with. So, you know, let's keep on nurturing each other. Like, for real, for real. Like, that's what everything was about for episode 13, for Chef Ant, and all about his initiative and everything he's pushing through his books and the things that he's written and things that are food that he produces to the community and to the people. So, that's my moment. That's my 5 minutes. So if, I don't know if you have anything more that you wanted to speak on or say.
You know, I always like to do my closing message. remember, nourishment isn't just about what's on your plate. It's about feeding your soul, cultivating relationships, and savoring moments that make life truly a blessing. As we explore the vast palette of life, let's strive to nourish not only our bodies, but also our minds and our spirits. Until next time. Stay nourished, stay inspired, and keep spreading the love. And let us know any collaborations or big events you got coming up.
Well, the most recent one was with McDonald's with the mumble sauce. Y'all had it yet?
Yeah.
No, I haven't.
You ain't had it yet? No. I was mad that that shit went, like, they stopped serving it. I was getting it every day, as I tell you. I even like the jelly one a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm not asking for that.
No, they stopped. They recalled it in Annapolis.
So okay.
Yeah. Everywhere. So what's going on with it?
No, so I was one of the co-creators on that campaign.
Oh, okay.
Back in October, so.
Congrats on that.
Yeah. Right now, I'm just coming up on 10 years out of federal prison in March, man.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, I think that's a hell of a milestone.
Man, if I'd have known that, we'd have touched
on it. We'd have some questions queued up for that one. He's going to drop that bomb on at the end. Okay. We might need you on a part two.
Oh, you ain't know that?
No, I didn't.
We might need a part two on that.
Yeah.
We bring you back with some food next time. Yeah. We have a whole brunch bar right here. I'm down.
That made the story even dope. You know what I mean? We knew that you were
10 years old, my brother. 10 years, man, for sure.
Nah, appreciate it.
You went through a traumatic situation with your health, and then the head that you had your freedom stripped away as well. Man, I always send prayers and love to people that's locked away, whether they deserve the time or not.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tough place to be in, man. But to come out of the depths of those restraints and be able to get focused, locked in, nourish your mind, and then get out here and really cultivate and do your thing in your career. I mean, yo, we got to applaud people like Chef Ant for doing that, man. It takes a lot of courage and true discipline.
Man, people are going to eat off this episode for weeks, I believe. I feel like so many gems was dropped just from the food aspect and just the thought put into a lot of the answers that you give us. Oh, man, food for thought. That's going to be part two when you come back. Food for thought part two with Chef Ant. So, yeah, man, you know how we do when we get up out of here. Shout out to our studio, Atelier Baltimore. You can find us on the web, doitforthelove.com for us listening and not watching me. That's the number 4. Don't spell it out. Also, follow us on Instagram, Do It For The Love Pod. We're on all social networks. We're on all platforms. Please continue to stream, like, subscribe, share. We need you to grow. We need more interaction. Chef Ant told y'all earlier, he liked to interact with the people. The lady told him, you don't put on a show. We here putting on a show for y'all people. We here trying to give y'all nothing but love. Each episode, this was a great, great episode. Once again, I want to thank you, my brother.
Make sure y'all follow my guy on Instagram, Chef Anthony DC. Mm-hmm. Pleasure to follow. He always hitting you with some good food knowledge.
That's
good.
Right.
Food to look at, inspire you if you're a chef. Mm-hmm. If you an eater like myself, don't try not to eat your phone, man. This shit is crazy. You cooking all the meth, man. But definitely appreciate you for coming out. Absolutely. I know your time is valuable. Yeah. I don't want to be one of them clients you were talking about. You know what I mean?
Nah, man, good, man.
I don't know if y'all will see the episode soon. Sal trying to get me at the end of one of these episodes when I was doing my closeout moment. I ain't cut him off. I let him finish. He said he's an eater. For all of the Cam and Mace doing for the Love fans, I just wanted y'all to know.
He's staying Paul.
Yeah, you know, he got me. I let him live. I let him live. But special shout out to Ashawn, the Light recipients, all of the parents. I sponsor Highlight Hood the Good.
Yeah, sure. Mr. Ken Starks,
man. Nothing but love, man. Do it for the love. Episode 13 for the love of nourishment. It's been a blessing, man. You know the vibes. We out of here.